Today, I want to share a little bit that is hopefully powerful. It's something that's really stirred inside of me and is a word I think that is for all of us, not just in this season of life, but in every season. And it's a good reminder and something to reflect upon. And I want you to, if you don't have any with you right now, I want you to get a pen and some paper, because throughout my message today, I'm going to ask you some questions. Somewhere, you know, you're going to sit and listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and somewhere you're going to write some stuff down, and we're going to sort of process through that at the end of my message. I want today to be a little bit contemplative and really engaging with the presence of God with us. And so my message today is called Divine Interruptions. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that no matter where we are or what we're doing, you are speaking to us and you are moving in and through us. And I thank you for divine interruptions. And I just pray that you would be ministering to each and every one of us today as we look at some of your examples of divine interruptions where you've interacted with people in the past. And I pray that we would all be encouraged and refreshed. And I pray that you would speak your words through me today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Interruptions are a part of life, and they usually occur at a pretty inconvenient time. I mean, think about it. Have you ever been sitting down for dinner? Maybe you've just prepared it, put it on your plate, just got to the dining table or the couch, wherever you eat dinner, and then your phone rings. Look, I'm guilty of making calls at that time. I think because I eat dinner at a different time to my grandparents and I talk to them a lot, I have this innate ability of ringing them when they're sitting down for dinner, and I know it's an inconvenience, or I ring them during the news. So the two worst times I could ring them. But you think about it, it's an inconvenient interruption a lot of the time when you get a phone call at dinner. Then there's roadworks. I mean, even my drive here today to film, I didn't factor in that there could be roadworks and got stuck there for a while. It was a good little car karaoke session, but it was an interruption that made me a little bit late for when I was supposed to be here. Or maybe it's when you're watching Netflix or another streaming platform and the internet cuts out at a key scene. I don't even have words to communicate that. And if you're like me, you know, and you're really invested in a TV show or a movie and then the buffering starts or the net drops out, it's a shambles, right? It's a major inconvenient interruption. And then maybe the interruption is God calling us to something. And I put that last one there because sometimes interruptions provide us with an opportunity. You see, sometimes they're an inconvenience, but sometimes they're an opportunity for something pretty special. If we consider the video that we just watched, what do we pray for? I imagine that often we will pray for God to use us, to give us an opportunity to pray for someone, to share the gospel with friends or family. You know, we ask God for an opportunity to do something substantial and significant and of worth. Question is, do we really mean that? We may pray it, but do we really want that? And when that interruption comes that, you know, maybe you're on public transport and God says, okay, you want to pray for someone? See that person sitting over there? I want you to go over and start talking to them and to pray for them. Or, you know, you want to do something that helps communicate the gospel. Okay, I want you to serve on this team, or I want you to write a devotion and I want you to share that, or, you know, I want you to be generous in this area. You know, we pray for these things and then an interruption comes. But do we see that as an inconvenience or as an opportunity? Are we prepared for that? So I've had a few kind of divine interruptions, lots of inconvenient interruptions, but a few key divine interruptions in my life. I think back to 2016. Now, for those of you at Bayside who have been around for a little while and know some of what Em and I have done, we were down at the Frankston campus for a period of time, pre-COVID. And getting to that point was a bit of a divine interruption. I'd inquired about a different role at church at that point, and interviewed for it, knew I wasn't going to get it, was happy doing what I was doing. And you know, you talk about those inconvenience phone calls at dinner time. I'd literally just sat down to eat my dinner and I get a phone call from Pastor Christy and Pastor Sandra. And long story short, through that, they encouraged me to consider going down and being a part of the team at the Frankston campus. Now, this was a major interruption. Was it something that excited me because I felt I was called into ministry and things like that? Absolutely. But was it an interruption? It was a major interruption. It wasn't on my radar. I didn't see that. And then it just was there going, what do you want to do? And I'm going to pick up this story again in a little while after I've shared a little bit more. But sometimes it's a big thing, sometimes it's a small thing, but it doesn't change the fact that it can be an inconvenience. But do we look at it and focus on it as an inconvenience, or do we look at it and see an opportunity? You know, I made excuses as to why not, like why I shouldn't do it. The anxiety hit. But I think that that's part of what interruptions do. They challenge us, they disrupt our focus, and they can change the course of our lives. I look at it in the sense of procrastination. And now, look, I would consider myself a PhD level procrastinator. And that's not a good thing. Some people might laugh at that, but it's really not a good thing. I create interruptions for myself when I should be writing an essay, or when I should be sermon prepping or doing different things along the way. I create interruptions for myself because it's what I do. And I don't enjoy it, but it is what it is, and I'm learning to push through the distraction. But then I end up putting immense pressure on myself to complete what I have to do. And that pressure is self-inflicted. I want you to reflect for a moment on how you feel when interruptions happen. Maybe it's an impromptu phone call. May not be at dinner time, but it could be any point. Maybe you're given an added task at work that you didn't see coming. Maybe something at home has broken and needs repairing, and you've got to outlay some money towards that. Maybe it's God prompting you to pray for someone. How do these interruptions make you feel? And I want you to be honest with yourself here. How do these interruptions make you feel? You know, you can put that on your piece of paper. When you consider how you feel, look at why it is that you feel that way. Is it because it makes you uncomfortable? Is it because it goes against your plan or your routine? And plans and routines are a good thing. But are you feeling the way you're feeling because it goes against that? I think it's important to identify what makes us feel whatever that is. I look at my story from 2016, that sense of anxiety and stress is because I'm a control freak and I didn't see it coming, and it kind of knocked me about because I didn't see it, and then I had to wrap my head around seeing it. And you know, sometimes it's okay to have an initial reaction of fear and anxiety, but it's then what we do. We don't stay there. We go, okay, where's the good in this? Where's the light in this? Where's the joy in this? So identify what makes you feel, whatever it is you feel when an interruption happens. And I want you to write that down in particular, and we're going to return to that shortly. And I want to look at three stories quickly from Scripture that speak to divine interruptions. The first one comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and it's verses 1 to 10, and it's the calling of the prophet Samuel. It says, "The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his usual place. Before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel and he answered, 'Here I am.' He ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'I didn't call,' Eli replied. 'Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'I didn't call, my son,' he replied. 'Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And I think that that's a great attitude to have. And now the second story is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. And this is the call, Jesus calling his first disciples. "As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. 'Follow me,' he told them, 'and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." And then the final story is in John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. And this is Mary Magdalene returning to the empty tomb. "But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'Because they've taken away my Lord,' she told them, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. 'Woman,' Jesus said to her, 'why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?' 'Supposing he was the gardener,' she replied, 'sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' 'Don't cling to me,' Jesus told her, 'since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them what he had said to her." I love these stories, and they are three of many examples of divine interruptions in Scripture. And I want you to consider those moments as if you were there in them. You know, with Samuel, sleep continually being interrupted. You're the disciples out on your boats, just working, and a random person comes and interrupts you at work and tells you to drop what you're doing and follow them. And then Mary, you're grieving is interrupted. What would you do in their shoes? And it's a really interesting one to consider. Would we see it as an inconvenience? Would we see it as irrelevant? Or do we see opportunity? And I think that that's the big thing with divine interruptions, even some mundane interruptions. Like, can you turn that into a positive or an opportunity? And so in 2016, with that phone call that I received, I had to sort of sit there and make a decision. I was able to call a friend and chat to them about it. And, you know, I felt completely out of my depth. I may have conveyed that whole duck on a pond mentality that looked all calm and everything on top of the surface of the water. But underneath, the legs are going a million miles an hour and anxious about it. But it was just like, okay, this is a challenge. It's a bit inconvenient, but I'm going to see this as an opportunity to learn and grow. And I'm incredibly grateful to God and to Pastor Rob and Pastor Christy for that opportunity to learn and grow. And it's brought me here to where I am today. And if we look at those three stories that we read with Samuel, here I am, you called me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Are we ready and willing when a divine interruption comes to run to God and go, here I am, I am listening, speak, Lord. We've got the disciples who gave up their livelihood and their families and followed Jesus. And you've got Mary who was grieving, was in shock, was probably a little bit angry and annoyed. But then all of a sudden, Jesus just interrupts that. And then there's awe. There is joy. And her faith is spurred on. Interruptions happen, church. And the thing is, we choose how we deal with them. Do we react on emotion? Or do we respond with understanding and consideration? God is always speaking. Are we hearing? Are we listening? And I can consider one of the key things to dealing with divine interruptions is knowing the one who is speaking or who is interrupting. And so when it is a divine interruption and God is speaking to us or calling to us, we need to ensure that we know His voice, but also that we know His nature and His character so that we can trust what He is calling us to, but then have a strong enough faith that we are willing to look past the immediacy, the physical, tangible things in front of us, and to walk in faith and in obedience to what He calls us to. It is essential to deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father, to pray to Him, to read the Word, because then, when divine interruptions come, we can hopefully respond with obedience, an act of worship to our King. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the divine interruptions that may occur in our lives. And I just pray right now that You would help us to engage with You, and when those interruptions come, to see them as an opportunity rather than an inconvenience. And in this space right now, I want you to consider what you've written down. Consider your typical responses to an interruption. I want you to be honest with yourself and with God. There's no judgment, no condemnation. This is a growth opportunity for all of us, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone. Consider what you have written down. While you do that, why don't you close your eyes for a second and take a couple of deep breaths. Just silence that noise around you. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you what might cause you to feel that way when you're interrupted. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with peace that surpasses all understanding. And in that space of peace, find that clarity to understand the reaction and how we can grow the next time there is a divine interruption. I want to look at Romans 8, verse 28, right now, as we're in this space. And it said, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose." Read what you wrote down again in light of Romans 8, 28. That God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. So if we know that, we believe that, we understand that, when an interruption comes, we know that it is according to His purpose. And right now, just ask the Lord to show you how you can deepen your relationship with Him and to trust His interruptions when they occur. I want you to write that down. And if you're tuning in and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you want to make that declaration, you want to take that step and go, "You know what, Jesus, I am thankful for what You did for me." If that's you, there's a link in the chat and you can click on that and someone will engage with you and chat with you. And we want to pray with you. And so you can say this prayer along where you are right now and go, "Lord Jesus, thank You for dying for me. For that interruption of the established norm when You shed Your blood for me. Today, I choose to follow You. I repent and turn from my selfish ways and choose to live for You forevermore." Father God, I just thank You for who You are. I thank You that You are faithful, that You are our provider, and that You are with us wherever we go. And so right now, Lord, I just pray Your blessing and favor upon all of Bayside Church and everyone who is watching this, Lord God. Just fill us with Your peace, fill us with Your love, and provide us with some divine interruptions where we can share Your love and Your goodness to the world around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.